Welcome to Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Identity theft has become a very serious problem. Every 2 seconds, someone's identity is stolen in this country, and con artists are turning to some very sophisticated scams to defraud people. How can you protect yourself from one of these schemes and make certain that you don't lose thousands of dollars? These are some of the questions we have for our guest today, Attorney General Bill Sorrell and Greg Marshallton, who is the State Director of AARP Vermont. Welcome to the program. It's great to have you on.
Oh, thanks, Bob. Great to be on.
Thanks, Bob.
Today, our guests are in Boston participating in what is known as a reverse boiler room. They're calling people up to warn them about the two leading scams that are currently being used to steal a person's identity. And we're going to talk about those two scams in just a moment. You can join the conversation here at Vermont Edition. You can give us a call at 1-800-639-2211. Have you been a victim of identity theft? Would you be willing to share your story with us? How did it happen? How long did it take you to find out that these thieves had stolen your money? Were you able to get any of the money back? Perhaps you've taken steps to make certain that your identity is protected. What did you do? We would love to know. Give us a call, 1-800-639-2211. You can always send us an email at vermontedition@vpr.net or give us a call, 1-800-639-2211. Bill Sorrell, put this issue of identity theft into perspective for us. How big a problem is it? Do Vermonters really need to be concerned about it?
They absolutely do. Identity theft is the fastest growing crime nationally and in Vermont. And your personal information, your birth date, your social security number, your credit card number, your bank account number and such are more valuable than the cash in your wallet, because with today's economy and the ready access to credit, somebody, if they have that personal information about you, can take out credit cards, take out loans in your name without you even knowing about it, and you can have your bank account, relieved of all of its cash, but it's your identity that's really even more valuable.
So, Bill Sorrell, what would you say to those listeners who are thinking right now, yeah, it sounds like a serious problem, but, I don't need to be concerned because that kind of thing is never going to happen to me?
It's happening all the time in Vermont and nationally, and in today's online digital world, the ability of scam artists to communicate with you efficiently and effectively and very convincingly is much greater than it was in the past. So those who don't think that in Vermont that they're being targeted by scam artists, you're seriously mistaken, and hopefully you're going to get some information in this program that will make you a smart consumer and protect your identity and your assets.
We want to definitely talk about that a little bit later. Bill, does it sometimes take days or even weeks before a person knows that their identity has actually been stolen?
Yes, absolutely can be the case. And these scam artists, whether in the United States or more typically internationally, are pros. And they, through wire transfers and whatever, and applying for credit in your name, can amass great amounts of money. It's described right now as a $16 billion issue nationally. It's certainly millions and millions of dollars in Vermont, and it's growing rather than receding.
And Greg Marshallton, how serious of an issue is this for your members in Vermont? Are you getting a fair number of complaints from your members?
Well, yeah, we certainly are. I mean, we've been partnering with General Sorrell and his team for the past really almost a couple of years as we're going around the state talking to our members and the public about issues associated with identity theft and frauds and scams. And I'm not exaggerating, Bob, when I tell you that every single event that we go to, there is always someone, and sometimes more than one person, who will raise their hand and say, this has happened to me, I lost $1,000 in a scam like this. I lost $5,000 in a scam like this. These people are, frankly, willing to stand up in a group of 100 people or 200 people and talk about what happened to them. So we're seeing this a lot. Our members will call us. I think one of the things we know about this particular crime is it's obviously very personal. So people can be really ashamed or really embarrassed that they've been caught up in a scam. Those folks, we know, our research tells us, they're actually more vulnerable to be re-victimized and then victimized again. They lose $5,000 in, let's say, a foreign lottery scam, and then they find themselves on what they call these sucker lists. These criminals share, and they purchase sucker lists from each other. So this same person that lost $5,000 in a foreign lottery scam is then scammed again by someone who comes in and says that they're going to be able to get that $5,000 back if you only give us $1,000 more. So this is a pervasive problem. As General Sorrell said, it's millions and millions of dollars in Vermont. And finally on this piece, Bob, we know that this is a vastly underreported crime. So if it's $16 billion nationally, could it be 20 or more? Absolutely. If it's tens of millions in Vermont, could it be hundreds of millions? Absolutely.
And Greg, are you thinking that it's underreported because some folks are embarrassed to admit that they've fallen for a scam?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. We know that's one of the reasons. They're embarrassed. They don't want to tell their family, their friends. Sometimes they don't necessarily know who to turn to. Nobody wants to tell a spouse or a sister or a brother or a cousin, you know, I think I've just gotten taken, and, you know, that $10,000 that I had in my savings account is no longer there. It's obviously very personal and very painful for people to admit that something like this has happened. But again, as I said earlier, it is these people that, if they don't come forward and put a call into General Sorrell's Consumer Assistance Program and talk to one of their experts or call AARP, talk to one of the folks on my team, those are the folks that are most likely to get victimized again and again and again. And it's not uncommon to get caught up in this cycle that is just a really horrible thing to have happen to anybody.
And, Greg, do you think senior citizens are specifically being targeted?
Yeah, there's no question. And Bob, as you know, Vermont's the second oldest state in the nation, right? So we're very acutely aware of the fact that these criminals, Bill and I have been telling you, are quite sophisticated. They target the elderly for several reasons. First of all, many of our older Vermonters grew up at a time where this sort of thing just wasn't happening, right? There certainly wasn't the Internet, the advent of real sophisticated technology wasn't there. And even people that would call them on the landline, they weren't calling to steal their life savings or to take their paycheck from them. So senior citizens are more trusting. And they are, frankly, a little less likely because they're friendly to get themselves off the phone when a scammer actually does get through to them. And one of the things AARP's research has shown is that the longer you stay on the phone with one of these criminals, you're far more likely to get caught up in one of these scams. So that's why they target seniors. But I also want to be clear, they're targeting everybody right now. It's not just an issue for older people. This happens. We've talked to doctors and lawyers and teachers. You can be highly educated. You can be high income. You can be low income. These guys don't care where they get their money from, so they're going after it in just about any way they can get it. But there's no question that seniors are definitely targeted for crimes like these.
Today in the program, we're looking at the issue of identity theft. Our phone number is 1-800-639-2211. Perhaps you've been a victim of identity theft, or perhaps a member of your family has. Would you be willing to share your story with us? We'd like to know how it happened and if you were able to get any of that money back. 1-800-639-2211. Let's turn to Tim in Hyde Park. Hi, Tim. Welcome to the program.
Thanks. Good to be here. Really important subject. My story took place in Connecticut, so if this is slightly less relevant than to the discussion here for Vermonters, I'll withdraw. But the situation was this. Both my parents declined through age-related issues, and we needed to get them assistance, which turned out to be live-in assistance. It was the assistant and then the sister that we had hired as independent contractors who took over a couple of my parents' checking accounts and credit card accounts, unbeknownst to either my sister or myself, who have power of attorney over my parents at that point. And they hid the bills from us but kept the credit cards alive and the other bank accounts alive while they drained the assets out of it, never forwarding the bills to us. We never knew of the existence of these accounts. And, you know, this is partly due to our lack of diligence. But enough is going on at the time that you don't think to ask all the questions. And we trusted these people implicitly. So they took complete advantage of us. And the total loss was probably in the neighborhood of $100,000. A lot of money.
Wow.
When we found out, of course, we sued them immediately and made a criminal complaint. It was really painful, though, to go through that kind of a level of betrayal. It's even hard to talk about now. But we haven't seen a penny back yet. We're still waiting to go through the court system. But you have to say something because these people have to get on a registry so they can't do it to somebody else.
Okay, Tim, we really appreciate you sharing that story with us. Bill Sorrell, is that another form of identity theft?
It's certainly a situation that we see in Vermont. It's not limited to Connecticut at all. We've had Vermonters who, one, have had their identity taken and credit taken out in their name, but we have also had caregivers, those with powers of attorney to handle people's banking and everything, who have drained their bank accounts, taken out credit cards, used their credit cards. And so the issue of family members being vigilant about those who have the power to control someone's banking financial transactions is really important. It's we've seen an awful lot of Vermonters victimized in that way. And typically, just like all of the scams, the ability to get one's money back when there's been a scam is difficult, if not impossible. Even if it's not a scam artist from Eastern Europe, but is a trusted caregiver right here in Vermont who has gotten your money, getting it back is next to impossible.
Let me just add one thing. That was a very powerful story that we heard, Bob. And caregiving is obviously a huge issue, particularly in a place like Vermont with such a large elderly population. So the story you heard is not uncommon. You'll have a family that may be living in Newport, and elderly parents are living someplace in New York or Florida or some other place, and they can't be there every day. And this is true for millions of Americans all across the country. So they hire these folks on good faith. They check references. This guy said he didn't quite do enough due diligence. I don't actually know that that's the case. But we have a huge potential epidemic here if you look at long-distance caregiving and how this is going to work for not just many Vermonters, but people all across the country. Hiring independent contractors for aging parents who need kind of in-home care and the kind of damage that people like this can do in the setting, unbeknownst to the family back home that's trying to manage this, was clearly relayed in the story that he took. So staying on top of it, checking the bank account information every single day. We recommend that everybody sign up for online banking. It sounds almost counterintuitive in some fashion, right? Because there's a lot of internet fraud out there. But it is a great way to immediately check on your bank account to see if there's any suspicious activity. The bank's fraud protection programs are very good. But you have to build in some systems so that you can be vigilant and stay on top of this. But as AARP looks into the future in Vermont and elsewhere, this issue of people, you know, of these independent contractors caring for aging parents that don't live in the homes with their children, this is the potential for fraud here is enormous. And a $100,000 loss is just simply devastating.
Today in the program, our subject is identity theft. Our phone number is 1-800-639-2211. When we come back, we're going to find ways to protect yourself from this crime. This is Vermont Edition on VPR. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. Today we're looking at identity theft. With us today, Attorney General Bill Sorrell and Greg Marshallton, who is State Director of AARP Vermont. They're working to attack this problem. Your thoughts, 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Let's talk to Catherine, who is calling from Charlotte. Hi, Catherine. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
So what's on your mind today?
Well, I called because, as I said previously, I'm not sure where the line is necessarily between fraud and identity theft, but my mother had over $30,000 taken from her bank account across two transactions. One was a fraudulent check. It was reported to the police, went to the feds, and one of the things that I find so interesting, I mean, we tracked the person from Pennsylvania, back to Vermont, to New Jersey, and Israel. There was a course of three different people. Couldn't come to the bottom of any of it. And it goes to the feds, as I understand it, automatically. But in the end, as I understand it, if it's not over $250,000, the feds aren't interested. So these people got away with, and this is happening, as you're saying, all the time, free money. $30,000 in my mother's case, or in the bank's case, or in the taxpayer's case, and God knows, $100,000 for that other person, and I find that remarkable.
Catherine, could you just explain to us how this happened?
What do you mean, how it happened?
Well, how did the person get into the bank account?
They wrote a check that. I guess they must have gotten, I don't know if they forged the signature or copied and pasted the signature on a check that they just made up. It had all the right numbers, but it wasn't her checks from her account. So it went through as if it were, but it was completely fraudulent. And then the second transaction was actually an automatic payment to some health insurance. I don't even know what that was, and they're treated totally separately, but they happened at roughly the same time, basically within the days of each other. The check was the larger amount. That was over $25,000, and we tracked that. That's the check is what we tracked through those states and ultimately international.
And how did your family find out about this?
I went online and was just doing some online transactions and noticed this large amount, and because I signed her on my mother's account and working on some finances for her, and noticed this large amount. And it was within 3 days, and I said, "What is that?" And went, and they have the copies of the check that you can look at online. And I looked at it and I said, "That's not right." And that's so I called the bank immediately, and then the check took almost 10 weeks to rectify back into her account, whereas the automatic withdrawal payment that was made fraudulently as well was resolved within, I think it's 10 to 14 days, which I've also found, I don't know why, I found that very interesting and odd as well.
Catherine, thanks very much for your story today. Bill Sorrell, what about jurisdictional issues here?
Well, an awful lot of the fraud is being done internationally, so that is federal law enforcement. But the truth of the matter is even federal law enforcement frequently has its hands tied when dealing internationally. And some of the frauds that we see in the fraudsters in certain governments in the world have police protection, or there's corruption in the government in those places. And so even the FBI can't do much in certain countries of the world to, one, identify those who were the scam artists, and two, to get any of the money back. For stuff that's solely in-state, other kinds of scams we see, home improvement fraud and the like, then state and local police can respond and investigate those cases. But even in those cases that are really local scams, getting someone's money back doesn't happen very often at all. Once it's gone, it's gone.
So, Bill, I know a lot of people who are listening are wondering, how do I protect myself? What do they do? What steps should listeners be taking?
Well, first of all, they should treat their personal information, their name, birth date, social security number, bank account number, credit card number, as being even more valuable than the cash in their wallet or their jewels in the safe at home, because that's why identity theft is the fastest growing crime in the country. It's because of the nature of how we're engaged in commerce these days. So then you want to be careful. I was thinking of the woman who said that somehow the checking account information got out for her parents and this check was written. The reality is, if an entity has your name and your checking account numbers, they don't need a signed check from you. They can do what's called a demand draft, which is as good as a check. You really need to be vigilant in protecting that kind of information. And so people, you know, finish their writing their checks, and you've got, you know, the deposit slips that are in your checking, in your checkbook, and you just kind of throw those in the trash or in the recycle bin. That's that information which someone can pick up. You get all kinds of credit card offers in the mail. You just toss those in the trash without shredding them and the like. Other documents that have your Social Security number on it, you're not shredding those or tearing them up into small pieces. That's all information that's available that you're not even intentionally giving out. So you really have to be very, very careful with what you discard, put in the recycle bin, and certainly what you put in email or online communications or giving out over the phone.
Greg, let's look at one scam that's going on right now. People are getting emails from, they think, the IRS, and the IRS is saying, guess what? You owe a lot of money in back taxes, and but if you act now, we might not slap a big penalty on you, so wire us some money right now. How should people respond to that?
What we're seeing that is very prevalent, Bob, in Vermont, the IRS scam. And we're not only seeing it come to people through their email box, but we're also seeing it come through directly to telephones. The tactic here is what we call a fear tactic. So the caller says, you know, you owe $8,600 in back taxes. We've been trying to reach you for some time. We've just connected with you. If you pay that check to us right now, we'll make sure that federal agents don't show up on your doorstep tomorrow and repossess your automobile or shut off your utilities. And if you are an older person, you may be living in a part of rural Vermont, you may be living alone, so you're a little more isolated, you can be very, this can be a very, very scary phone call to receive. Someone might unwittingly write that check or bring it to the nearest Western Union or MoneyGram office, and then off that money goes, and it's never going to be seen again. What we're asking people to do is really two things. This is a major scam that is going on. We're seeing it all over Vermont. General Sorrell's office and the folks at his Consumer Protection Unit have been very vigilant on this. We're working very closely with them so that when we go out and talk to our members and talk to the public, that we can tell them a couple things to do. First of all, we need to report this, and reporting it to General Sorrell's office is really important. It's important to see for us to know what's happening in Vermont in real time so that we can figure out ways to combat it. With AARP, we have 140,000 members in our state. We have thousands in our Fraud Watch network. And then we can get out information via a robocall, via an email, via a live event where we can tell them this thing is happening. Here's what to do. Really what you do is just delete that email. Don't go near it. Don't send your money anywhere. The ticket here is if you are not initiating the call, the IRS will never call you on the phone. Even if you owe them $200,000, they will never call you on the phone. That would all be initiated by the U.S. mail before anything happened other than that. So any of these imposter scams, particularly the IRS scam, that's what you do. You don't send the money right away. You report it to the Attorney General's Consumer Assistance Unit, and then we begin to get information out with our law enforcement partners and other across the state, making people aware that this is just a scam. But this one seems to be working. And what they do is they instill fear in the listener or fear in the person reading the email in order to get them to act. And if you just do the numbers on this, Bob, let's just say they, let's say they direct dial 10,000 Vermonters. If they get three or four people to bite, they may make $30,000 or $40,000 in a day. That's not a bad day's work for those criminals.
Let's go back to our listeners and talk to Dennis in Moortown. Hi, Dennis. What's on your mind today?
Good afternoon, Bob and others. I was at a tax seminar Tuesday, discussing this very same problem with the IRS. Many of the criminals have had access either through purchase of the data or by their own organizations, which have computer tech savvy people, and they've invaded websites and databases to access, in order to get the information to access people's names, addresses, SS numbers, etc. There's also another scam going on. I have received four emails in the last three weeks, from an entity entitled the Navy Federal Credit Union, which are complete scams. I have not reported them to the Attorney General's office.
Okay, Dennis, thank you very much for your phone call and that information. That's good for everyone to know of other scams that are going on. Bill Sorrell, is there a black market out there for people, for scammers trading credit card numbers, personal information, social security numbers? Is all that going on?
Yes, that is going on, and that's why data breaches are something to pay very clear attention. If you get a notice that your credit card information, your personal information has been released through a data breach, then you've got to be even more vigilant. And as Greg said earlier, if you fall victim to one scam, then you get on a list that gets sold from one scam operation to another, and it's more likely that you're going to be re-victimized if you've been victimized once from the artist, the scam artists who say they're going to get your money back, but just others who just think that you're potentially an easy mark. And there's a public service. Even if you don't fall prey to a scam, if you think something is a scam, you have any question, before you send any money, you should be calling us to ask whether something's legitimate. But even if you know it's a scam and you don't bite, giving us information about what the scam is, particularly if it's a new one we haven't heard about, it's very important information to us so we can get out a public alert as to what is the scam of the day. The IRS scam is big these days, but another one that's really big is the so-called Microsoft scam, where you get a phone call that you've got a virus from Microsoft, you got a virus on your computer, you got to go online and connect with us so that we can get the virus off your computer. We're going to want your bank account or your credit card information just to pay us for getting the virus off the computer. We're seeing a lot of that. But there's, new scams every day. You heard the Massachusetts AG today say that they're getting calls about scams related to the Pope's visit to the country. We've seen them, when Hurricane Katrina and everything, all kinds of scams. So ask consumers to call us with information, 1-800-649-2424. That's our CAP office, 656-3183 in Chittenden County area, and let us know what's going on or ask us questions.
And we'll also have that information at our website in case any listeners want to get those numbers. Certainly an important subject that potentially can affect everyone. Many thanks to our guest today, Attorney General Bill Sorrell, and AARP Vermont State Director Greg Marshallton. Many thanks for being on the program.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. We appreciate it.
Do want to mention that AARP is an underwriter of VPR. And coming up next, I'll talk with the chairman of the Vermont Republican Party, Dave Sunderland, about last night's GOP presidential debate. This is Vermont Edition on VPR. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. The Republican presidential candidates held their second debate last night, and the evening presented many of the candidates with an opportunity to challenge the frontrunner in this race, businessman Donald Trump. With us now to take a look at the people and issues of last night's debate is the chairman of the Vermont Republican Party, Dave Sunderland. Dave, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Bob. Good to be here.
So, what were your general thoughts about the debate last night?
Well, it was exciting to see a broad range of candidates and different viewpoints about how to best meet the challenges of Vermont and the nation in general. It was good to see issues being discussed and different candidates put in front of the voters.
Now, I understand that you won't be endorsing any candidates in this primary election, but I'm just wondering from an independent point of view, as you watched the debate last night, did you have some sense that some candidates were stronger than others?
Well, I think that in any debate, different candidates have good nights and other candidates have not so good nights. And it's good that there's in election season, there's more than one debate that happens and it gives people more than one bite at the apple. So, I think in any debate, people come away with a general perception that some did better than others. Sure.
Who do you think did well?
Well, I think Carly Fiorina held herself very well. I think that she presented her view on issues very well. I thought Chris Christie and Governor Kasich did well and got the most out of the airtime that they had.
You know, I'm wondering, do you have any concerns about the tone of the first two debates and actually the whole tone of the primary election so far? I mean, some people have compared it to roller derby. Other people say it sounds like a World Wrestling Federation match. Is that a problem or do you just view it as part of the process in this election cycle?
Well, I think it's a difference that you see in the national Republican organization versus what Vermont Republicans are used to and what Vermont Republicans want. I think we could all in Vermont do without the mudslinging and without the personal attacks. I don't think that adds to the conversation. I don't think it's what Vermont Republicans are looking for. And, you know, I think more of a focus on the issue, more of a focus on the candidate solutions to the challenges that Vermonters are facing, challenges around affordability and tax rates, including property tax rates, issues about job creation and the need to get our national and state economy moving again, things that we can do to help provide new and better opportunities for working Vermonters. I think those are the issues that Vermont Republicans most want to hear from the candidates, and I think the theatrics and the mudslinging would be better off left outside.
Certainly the big surprise of this campaign season has been the popularity of Donald Trump. He seems to be a polarizing figure in that people either really like him or they don't like him at all. In general, has his candidacy been a good thing for the Republican Party?
Well, he certainly provides a different perspective. I will definitely give him that. You know, again, I think that the theatrics and the mudslinging and the personal attacks we can do without. I don't know that that Donald Trump is necessarily the best fit for Vermont Republicans, and I don't know that Vermont Republicans in particular will look favorably upon his campaign and the way that he's running his campaign. But some might, and I think Vermont, again, it illustrates the difference between Vermont Republicans and where much of the more national group is positioned.
Can you see a scenario where Donald Trump wins the GOP presidential nomination?
Well, he's certainly well ahead in the polls right now, and we still have a long way to go. I think I'll let the debates play out and let primary voters digest the information that they hear throughout the upcoming months of the campaign, and I'm sure they'll make a decision that's best for them and that's based on who they believe will best solve the real policy issues, the real issue based challenges that they're concerned about for both the nation and for the state of Vermont.
Well, Vermont will hold its presidential primary on March 1st. You think we're going to see some more presidential candidates coming in the future months?
I do. We've certainly been working very hard to raise the profile of Vermont and Vermont Republicans in this presidential campaign, and I think you will see more here in Vermont. I'm not ready to make any announcements yet, but we're working hard on that.
Dave, you know, we got a situation this year where it seems like the outsider candidates are doing really well in the presidential race so far. If you combine the support for Trump, Ben Carson, and Carly Fiorina, you've got over 60% of the primary vote. And in contrast, the so-called more establishment candidates, those with a fair amount of political experience, I'm thinking now of Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, Scott Walker, they're all down in single digits. Do you think this is a passing trend, do you think it'll turn out to be an important factor in the 2016 presidential race?
Well, I think what it really demonstrates is a dissatisfaction, not just amongst Republicans, but also, I think, amongst middle-of-the-road, independent Americans and Vermonters, a real deep-seated dissatisfaction with the status quo. I think people are very concerned about the track that the country and our state is on, and they're really looking for something that's different. And with regards to Mr. Trump and some of the other outsiders that are running, who aren't deep in their experience level in the political system, that offers a refreshing break, I think, for many people that they're looking for right now. And again, it's a long campaign season, and I think as inevitably the numbers of candidates declines after the first few caucus in Iowa and the primary in New Hampshire, that may change. But I think right now, people are reacting to their concerns, to their worries, and to the dissatisfaction that they have with the status quo.
Well, within the Republican Party, do you think the support of the outsiders is really an indictment of Republican leadership in Congress?
No, I wouldn't say that. I think it's an expression of dissatisfaction with the way that politics has been done in Washington, in particular, over the past several years. And I think it's more a desire for a change than it is anything beyond that right now.
Well, we still have 15 candidates in this race, and with the established candidates kind of trailing in the polls, do you think we're looking at a long and drawn-out primary season for the Republicans?
Well, I think it'll definitely, be many peaks and valleys between now and when our eventual nominee is decided. There's a long way to go. I think Vermonters want to hear a lot more about the candidates. I think that the American Republicans in general want to hear a lot more from them. It's good that we have more debates coming. It's good that there's several months to go before the first vote is cast. And I think that's a good and healthy thing. And I think many things can change before that first ballot hits the box.
It'll be fascinating to follow both the Republican and Democratic presidential races this year. Dave Sunderland is the chairman of the Vermont Republican Party. Dave, many thanks for being on the program today.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
That is our program for today. Tomorrow on Vermont Edition, I'll talk with Lieutenant Governor Phil Scott about his decision to run for governor and the key issues he wants to raise in his campaign. Send your questions for Phil Scott to vermontedition@vpr.net and listen tomorrow at noon. Vermont Edition is produced by Patty Daniels, Rick Sangari, and Sam Gale Rosen, with production assistance from Aaron Lucy. Alex Keefe directed the program. Our executive producer is John Van Hoosen. I'm Bob Kinzel. Thanks for listening.